ring if you're ready to care. Let the podcast begin. Oh, let's talk power, let's talk speed. Hosted by the one and only We Too Deep. Turn it up loud, feel the power in your seat. This is Slappin' Neat, yeah, Slappin' Neat.
What is good, everybody? It's your boy, We Too Deep, and we are back with another episode of the Slapping Meat Wrestling Podcast. We got a good one here for you today. It is Friday as I'm recording this. We're going to do Fantasy Book Friday. We're going to do our Deep Five today. We'll continue the best female wrestler bracket battle. We'll go over the question of the week. And to end the show, we will predict WWE NXT Heatwave, which is this Sunday night. But to start the show, let's start with our opening thought of the week, and that is, you know, to preface this, you know, I've been trying to work on, you know, when I talk, not using expletives as much, because I just personally don't necessarily think they're needed in every sentence. I'm not the type of person that thinks that they're, you know, curse words or bad words. I think words are words, and certain societies, certain cultures view certain words as bad. Others don't, right? I don't necessarily think they're bad to use. However, I do think that in our culture, we hold them a little bit, we use them a little bit too much, right? And we sort of are desensitized to the meaning of the words. But saying all of that, we're going to take a break from trying to watch the tongue for a minute in this opening thought, where I'm going to tell WWE something. Y'all can fuck all the way off with this ESPN shit. You could stick it where the sun don't shine, big dog, right? So they introduced this deal a couple weeks ago, and I tried to defend it as I understand the business and why you would do this. And then part of me was, well, they wanted to put UFC and WWE, the TKO brand, all on ESPN. Well, then Paramount bought UFC pay-per-view rights. So, right? And so now it's just WWE left on ESPN. And so then I'm sitting here thinking, okay, well, the news reporting about this, I'm not going to really trust the sheet, the dirt sheets, or really any of the random fans, and I'm just going to wait for this to unfold. Well, the app dropped yesterday. Well, it's not even, if you had the ESPN app, it's the same app. You don't have to download a new app. But the ESPN direct-to-consumer plans started yesterday. And I said, let's just wait. We'll see what happens, right? Because, right, DirecTV, caveat, only the DirecTV streaming service. So if you have DirecTV with a satellite dish, you don't get the... You don't get this for free. You have to be a streaming customer, right? Spectrum, but you have to have a certain plan. I saw, you know, that you have to have, like, the highest plan with Spectrum to get the, right? And so they're going through all these different things and all this different small print just to not have to pay $30 a month. And I know FUBU allows you to have it and if you had Hulu Live TV, you can, obviously, because it's a Disney product, log into that and you'll get this for free, right? WWE can go, right, fuck all the way off, right? And I wasn't tripping about it. I wasn't worried about it. I was in the mindset of this sucks, because if YouTube TV isn't on here by Mania season, I'll have to start missing Mania. Which would suck, right? But at least I'll finish out this year with Peacock and blah, 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 blah. Well, guess what? That plan, completely out the window. Completely out the window. With that, because August 31st, Clash in Paris, will be the very last main roster PLE on Peacock. This new Wrestlepalooza show, which I don't hate the name. It's an okay name. This new Wrestlepalooza show is going to be the debut show on ESPN. And so this app drops. YouTube TV's not included. So as of now, I would have to pay $30 a month to watch just WWE because I don't watch ESPN for their sports shit. I don't care about it. I don't care about ESPN at all. Outside of now that I have to, you know, use them to stream PLEs. The way they went about all of this is absolutely insane. It's absolutely insane. There was no, you know, notice to customers that this was going to happen. To potential customers. Now the app dropped. You now know you have only 10 days left of Peacock for main roster PLEs. So now everyone's going to go and get the app. And get the service. And it's kind of what I, you know, what they wanted. This is bad business to me. This is what happens, right? Because I know a lot of people are going to be like, well, this is what happens with capitalism, bro. No. I've already said this. This isn't a capitalistic problem. I have no issue with companies trying to make money. What I have issues with is ESPN and why everything, you know, ESPN's going to charge an arm. In a year, I guarantee you this service is $45 a month or more. I just guarantee it. Because they're buying rights to everything. They now have WWE main roster PLEs. They're about to get basketball on their programming. They have a deal in basically on paper that just needs to be signed with Major League Baseball. They have stuff with football. They're literally buying the entire sports market. And these are big billion-dollar deals. And to pay for that, because they're not going to pay for that out of their own pocket, to pay for these deals, they're going to raise their prices. They're going to, Disney Plus is going to go up. This, I guarantee you, this ESPN direct-to-consumer unlimited plan that's $29.99 right now will be $45-plus dollars a month in the next year. I just know it's going to happen, right? I just know what's going to happen. This is absolutely insane. I'm already at the point where I just canceled Netflix. September 3rd is the last day I have Netflix. It's when my subscription dies. Which is very fond because the last day I'll watch a PLE on Peacock for the main roster is August 30th, which is probably the last time I'll watch a main roster show. I'm just going to be honest with you. Raw and SmackDown are too boring to give two fucks about. There, nothing's going on these TV shows. They're boring. Raw's the only reason I even got Netflix to begin with. And I'm not going to spend $9 a month to literally not use it. Like, I didn't even consider watching Monday Night Raw on Monday. Didn't even consider it. I'll watch the recap 10, 11 minutes that they put on YouTube, and that's how I'll live with WWE. I'll watch the news, I'll pay attention to the news online and things like that, the results that happen online. We'll still talk about some things in wrestling, but I don't know what else to tell you. Like I'm not going to, you know, spend an arm and a leg to get these PLEs. Right? And I'm not the type of person that uses, you know, these websites where you could pirate the shows. I'm just not that type of person, right? I don't care enough about the product to do something illegal. I don't care that much, right? But here's the kicker. You would think, okay, well, Peacock's done. I can get rid of Peacock. Oh, no. You got to pay that. You still got to pay that if you want to watch NXT, which is all I care about to begin with, is NXT. Like, I'm going to just be straight up honest with you. NXT is the greatest wrestling on the planet right now. NXT and TNA. Right? But to be a wrestling fan, right? And here's, let me break it down why this happens. Because you have marks out there who are willing to pay this. They're willing to pay $30 a month for this. And $200 a year for TNA Plus and pay for all of the services. And they're fine giving their money away. Not all of us are in that position. To be able to pay $2,000 a year in wrestling. And what really irritates me is 11 years ago when they started WWE Network. Everyone called them crazy for going streaming. Except, well, I didn't call them crazy. I didn't call them crazy. I thought that they were genius. They were ahead of the curve in 2014 when they announced this. There was no reason outside of monetary gain for the company. They got greedy. And I said this probably sometime around Mania season. I don't remember the exact episode. I saw this video. I don't remember what it was. I don't even remember necessarily what all was said, but essentially what was said in the video, and I 100% agree with it. TKO is going to be the downfall of WWE. And here's why. They're greedy. They don't care about the customer. They just want the money. They spent $9 billion to buy WWE. They want to sell it and get their money. They want to get more money back than what they right? And that's business. I understand this. That's the business world. But the people who are going to suffer the most are going to be the fans. Right? Because they've been putting out complacent product for the longest time. What we need, I'm going to be honest with you, because here's where I stand as a wrestling fan. I stand as someone who likes WWE, recognizes that they have a lot of talent, but also recognizing that the corporation that owns them is greedy and does not care about the fans. that the booking is not good. The storylines that are being told are not good. We're just getting wrestling matches. And then I got to pay an arm and a leg to even enjoy your spectacle. And then I turn around as a wrestling fan and say, oh, I have the sickos and the weirdos and the AEW crowd saying, well, that's why Tony Khan started AEW, so that we could be this alternative. And I turn around, I'm like, guys, your show is just as boring. Sure, it doesn't cost as much, but the fans in your fan base, your hardcore fans, push away anyone like me who wants storytelling. Oh, you just got to enjoy the match, bro. You just don't understand it. Right, so I'm standing in this place where, like, WWE doesn't care about me. The AEW fans won't let me come in and ask questions and without being dickheads. And so I'm and the product, both products aren't good. And so I stand in this crossroads of, like, what am I going to do as a wrestling fan? We need a third option. The thing we need the most right now is Vince McMahon to actually do what he said he was going to do and create another program. Because here's what we need. The very thing we need right now is for Vince McMahon to kill the WWE. He needs to be the person that puts an end to it. Tony Khan's not going to do it. WWE's done everything corporately to set up a system where that the only thing that will hurt them is if Vince McMahon comes in and creates an entertaining product, a third option for fans who are disenfranchised from both of the other programmings. We need that third option. And a lot of what WWE is doing isn't necessarily bad, right? I like the TNA deal. I like the AAA deal. I've been 100% very accepting of that. And it's not WWE as a whole. It's TKO. It's Endeavor. I warned you all when Endeavor bought the company, right, that was probably the worst company to buy, the worst parent company to buy WWE. Because of, you could just look at history and see what they did with UFC. They got rid of a lot of the roster. They raised prices. People were still willing to pay because people are sheep and they want to watch products and they're entertained by stuff. But this is getting ridiculous. It's getting absolutely ridiculous. Right? The amount of money that a wrestling fan for WWE has to be expected to pay to just enjoy a show is absolutely ridiculous. Right? Considering that well over half the country lives below a livable wage. I'm not even kidding. I said this, I think, last episode or two episodes ago. In North Carolina, where I live, the livable wage, based on the cost of living and inflation and everything, the living wage in North Carolina is $42 an hour. That's to live comfortably, to just live and make ends meet and have nothing really left over. It's about $22 to $25 an hour. Right? Most people don't make that. Right? I just saw a stat that on average in the United States, in order to buy a house today, you would need to make $110,000 a year to afford to own a home today. The price of everything's going up, I get it. But something's got to give, right? Companies are starting to realize, like McDonald's are starting to realize their prices are out of hand. They're preparing to slash the prices on some of their items. From what I've read, right? The cost of just entertainment now is out of hand. What should have been a system that killed cable and made watching TV and watching shows more accessible and more affordable ended up becoming the very same system that cable was, where cable was charging these unimaginable prices for their service. And then streaming hit, and everyone like, oh, this is gonna change the game. And what happened was, is we let the five companies that run media own streaming, and they just said, well, we're just gonna charge an arm and a leg for streaming then. And so we don't live in a actual capitalistic society with the way our markets work. It's very mixed economy. You know, WWE can, like I said, they can go fuck all the way off with this deal. The way they've gone about it's been super shady, not telling, you know, oh, we're going to start this in April of 2026, and then all of a sudden make an announcement, oh, we lied to you, it's now going to be September 20th, 2025 with WrestlePalooza. That's just not good business to me. So I've seen a lot of people say, I'm not getting the app, I'm not paying $30 a month to watch PLEs. I see this backfiring a lot. I do. I see this, right, you know, SmackDown recognized that they overpaid for, Fox recognized they overpaid for SmackDown, let them go. I think USA is recognizing that they've probably overpaid for SmackDown, that the ratings aren't anywhere close to what they probably should be, or what they could be, if they were putting on a decent product. Eventually, ESPN's going to recognize they overpaid for these media rights deals, because the product is not anywhere close to worth the price that it is costing the wrestling fan to pay. It's just not worth it. Not when I can watch it for free in literally 11 minutes and get everything I need to know that happened on the show. So, that's where I'm at. Let me know what y'all think in the comments of this. Do you agree? All right, so let's go to Fantasy Book Friday. And I've talked about this main event scene on Monday Night Raw, where I think it's going to lead to War Games. And War Games is typically four people, so I'm expecting it's only going to be four people. With that being said, how are we going to push this main event scene into Survivor Series, right? Where we stand right now, what we know is that Punk, Seth, LA Knight, and is it Jey Uso? Jey Uso is in the Seth, Jey, LA Knight, and CM Punk in a fatal four-way at Clash in Paris for the title, right? Well, we all know how this is going to end up. Braun and Bronson are going to come attack. They're coming attacking, right? It's no DQ because it's a multi-person match. And so Braun and Bronson are going to come out. Now, I think it's very easy to see. Now, there's rumors that Roman versus Bronson Reed may happen. I don't know all about that. Here's how I have War Games playing out. Let's talk about the good guys, right? Obviously, it's going to be Jay, CM Punk, LA Knight. So who's going to be the fourth member? At first, I thought maybe Sammy, but no, it's obvious where the story's going. It's going to be Roman Reigns. You're going to have Roman Reigns, Jey Uso, CM Punk, LA Knight on the good guy side in War Games. It's essentially what Roman Reigns is on TV now to do, is participate in War Games. And on the bad side, you got Seth, Braun Breaker, and Bronson Reed. So now you need a fourth member for that side. And this is what I think could happen. Because here's how I see this happening, right? Match is going on. Braun and Bronson come out and attack, right? Seth Rollins wins the match. And maybe a beatdown starts happening. Because Braun, Bronson, Seth, right? equal opportunity to beat up Jay, Punk, and LA Knight. Well, then Roman Reigns' music hit. And Roman comes out. He's the guy that's going to give them the edge right now. And then they start beating up on the bad guys. And then the fourth member gets announced or gets shown on screen. And I really had to go take a look at the roster. Like, what heel could they present here that would make sense? And I came with this name. It's a name that has issues with Jey Uso. It's a name that has a lot of issues with CM Punk. It's a name that has issues with Roman Reigns. And I'm not exactly certain what I don't remember if he has beef with LA Knight, but there might be beef there. And that's Drew McIntyre. Drew McIntyre, again, as like a mercenary. He's not part of the group, but he's like a mercenary. Hey, I got beef with these guys. I can beat them up again if you need me to. Right? And that's where I see this headed. I think leaving out of this, you know, you could do a feud somewhere where Roman and Drew maybe or something like that. I'm not going to book past Survivor Series. I do think that's going to be the four guys. Roman Reigns, Jey Uso, LA Knight, CM Punk versus Seth Rollins, Bron Breakker, Bronson Reed, and Drew McIntyre. And they'll go, it's August 31st that this will happen. So they go September, October, November, 3 months. You'll have to create some sort of feud. Again, it's really hard booking this because they really haven't given us anything. WrestlePalooza may get a match, but that's really going to focus on John versus Brock Lesnar. Being the main focus of that show. And then after that, you'll have Crown Jewel Perth, which I really think is going to focus on Rhea Ripley or something around that line, right? Seth will probably face Cody Rhodes for the big belt, right? And then after that is when you'll get to Survivor Series. So I don't necessarily, I think it's going to be a slow burn to Survivor Series, to War Games. And I think it's Drew McIntyre will be that fourth man, is sort of in the mercenary role. How that happens, the ins and outs, I ain't got no fucking clue. I haven't been able to figure out a way to make it make sense because nothing makes sense in the main event of Raw right now. The booking's absolutely horrible, but this is what happens when you book solely to get to War Games. And this is why the War Games thing makes no sense, right? Traditional Survivor Series was always supposed to be like the mid-card guys representing their brands, right? And that's what War Games should have been if that's what they wanted to do. But again, we don't really have a lot going on in WWE. The storytelling is just awful. It's just awful. Right? So that's about as fantasy booked as I can make the main event. I don't even think I could fix the stuff they got going on the screen. With that, we're going to go into my deep five, and it's actually a deep six. And what we're going to talk about is six what if scenarios. Six what if scenarios. That I think are the top six what ifs in WWE history. And we're going to talk about them. We're not just going to ask the questions. We're actually going to break these down logically. Like, let's answer the questions these what ifs, right? So that way we're going to break them down. We're going to break them down in the short term, which is 2 or 3 years from the event. In the midterm, which is 4 or 5 years from the event. And then long-term, like, legacy-wise, right? So the first one we're going to talk about. What if Hulk Hogan never left WWE in 1993 to go to WCW? Well, in the short term, Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels' rise to the top of the brand of WWF doesn't happen. Hogan keeps the belt longer, and Bret doesn't become the guy, right? WCW probably doesn't boom in 94, which probably means Nitro either doesn't come about or doesn't have as much sizzle behind it as it did with the Hogan and Flair boom in 95, right? In the midterm, you probably don't have the third man story. The NWO probably doesn't start. Or if it does, they would have used someone like Luger or a shocking Sting turn, right? And WWF probably doesn't lose 84 straight weeks to Nitro, right? The show probably is still struggling creatively. You got to really want a good question. Like, Hogan staying probably doesn't get WCW a TV deal, meaning there would be no real competition with WWF at the right, and so the product was struggling creatively at that point until Nitro became a thing, right? If Hogan stays babyface, the Attitude Era either doesn't happen or happens much slower. If they would have thought about turning him heel, which I highly doubt they would, then maybe he could get a run opposite of Bret, Shawn Michaels, Steve Austin. But again, I don't think they would have ever turned Hogan heel in WWF. And so, you know, the Attitude Era probably doesn't happen if Hogan stayed. And then long term, you probably don't have the rise of superstars like Austin and Rock. And WCW doesn't ever boom the way it did, right? You would probably get Hogan some dream matches. You would probably get Hogan and Bret at Mania instead of Yokozuna. You'd probably get Hogan versus Shawn, and then Hogan versus Austin at some point, right? The second one is, what if WCW won the Monday Night Wars? In the short term, Nitro and Thunder would stay on TV. WWF would lose leverage. They would bleed off stars. The invasion would probably happen in reverse as stars started to go to WCW. The cruiserweight division probably would have been industry standard at that point and would have, right? And then in the midterm, WWF within 2001-2005 becomes like a regional promotion, like super indie, or completely gets bought out. WWE wouldn't have a monopoly on the industry, and the developmental shifts of the industry would go through the WCW power plant, not Ohio Valley or NXT. And there probably would also be a much bigger emphasis and influence on the cruiserweight, Japanese, Mexican style in the mainstream. And then women's wrestling probably wouldn't be as big of a factor ever in the industry. So essentially, if WCW won the Monday Night Wars, it would be AEW. It's essentially what it would be. It's essentially what it is. It would be AEW. In the long term, maybe no Ross, Austin and Rock, like superstardom. And Rock probably goes to Hollywood much earlier than he even did. Some of the winners in this situation would have been guys like Sting, Goldberg, the Cruiserweights, the fans who love work rate, right? the idea of sports entertainment doesn't, you know, win went out, and the losers would be, you know, the fans who loved the sports entertainment aspect in the women's division, right? With that, though, if WCW won out, some likely feuds would have been Goldberg and Austin, Sting and Taker, and possibly an NWO versus Invaders from WWF, right? But that wouldn't really necessarily make sense, because weren't the NWO essentially Invaders from WWF? If I understood the beginning of the gimmick correctly. The third one, and this might be a big one to me, what would have happened? What if Eddie Guerrero never passed away in 2005? In the short term, you would have gotten the Eddie versus HBK rumored WrestleMania 22 match. Would have been an instant classic. One of the best matches of all time. Rey Mysterio's 2006 title run either doesn't happen, or if it does, would have been a different story. It wouldn't center on tribute to Eddie. I 100% believe Rey only won the title because Eddie died, so I don't think it would have happened. I think Vicky Guerrero stays away from TV, which then kills off the whole her GM era, Lay Cool, Dolph Ziggler authority figure type different storyline that we had at that time, right? In the midterm, Eddie probably becomes like the locker room leader on SmackDown, probably doing programs with like Batista, Edge, Undertaker, Jericho, CM Punk. He would definitely elevate the Latino stars and the Lucha style, potentially accelerating essentially what WWE's doing with AAA right now. Probably would have happened in the late 2000s, early 2010s. If Eddie Guerrero was still alive. And then in the long term, one would argue Eddie Guerrero might be a Mount Rushmore caliber talent if he wouldn't have died so early, like so young. Here's where it gets a little controversial. And we go down this rabbit hole. Would the Chris Benoit situation, double murder suicide, would that have happened if Eddie didn't die? Because one wonders, did that affect Chris Benoit the way a lot of people think it did? Right? And so that's something I've always wondered. That's one of my big what ifs. If Eddie didn't die in 05, would Benoit done what he'd done? Right? Again, some classics we would have probably gotten if Eddie stayed alive would have been Eddie and Shawn Michaels, Eddie versus Edge, Eddie versus CM Punk. I'm even thinking like Eddie versus Bryan Danielson or Daniel Bryan when he got there. Eddie versus Miz would have been a cool match. Right. Number four. What if Cody Rhodes did not leave WWE in 2016? This is a good question, right? So, eventually in the short term, he would have probably changed characters again. Stardust would have disappeared. But I don't ever think American Nightmare Cody Rhodes happens. Without Cody leaving and running the indies from 2016 to 2017, the first All In event in 2018 doesn't happen. And in return, if that doesn't happen, Tony Khan doesn't launch AEW. Or it would start later with much different leadership and much lower quality programming. I hate to say this, Cody Rhodes is the reason AEW exists. AEW fans can hate that, but Cody Rhodes is the reason AEW exists. He was the brainchild behind the idea of going against and starting a program like All In, which gave them proof. When they found that they sold 10,000 tickets and did like 120,000 pay-per-view buys, I think were the numbers, right? Hey, we could do this. Another company could bring these fans together And that's exactly what happened. But that doesn't happen if Cody Rhodes doesn't leave in 2016 and post that picture on socials of the list of the guys he wants to wrestle. If that doesn't happen in 2016, AEW doesn't exist. Cody Rhodes is the reason AEW started and continues to be a thing today. Which is why it always annoys me that AEW fans completely crap on Cody Rhodes and his importance in the existence of the very company they watch. In the midterm, like I said, no AEW. What that means is fewer talent options, lower bidding wars, WWE has less competitive pressure. Meaning, probably the same product we were getting at that time would have continued today. Less wrestling fans probably watching the product, and who knows what would have happened. Jon Moxley probably stays as Dean Ambrose, or if he wants it to leave, would go run the indies instead of being the cornerstone of AEW's programming. And Cody himself probably tops out at upper mid-card IC title runs, but never really the main event superstar he is now. Right, Cody had to leave to go bet on himself to become the biggest superstar on the globe to come back to be in the position he's in now. And then long term, Cody doesn't become the guy that you know finishes the story. I think the Tribal Chief stuff still happened eventually. But I don't think Cody's the one that ends the story if he doesn't leave and makes himself the guy who should, who, you know, the biggest babyface in the world. AEW has no flagship moments, probably doesn't exist, which means the entire wrestling ecosystem is less dynamic, less stadium shows outside of the WWE, and less national TV hours for pro wrestling to shine. And Cody's legacy is probably that WWE lifer and not a crossover star like he is now, right? Number five, kind of in the same vein but different. What if Sting signed with WWE in the 2000s and never went to TNA? In the short term, that's 02 to 06-ish. You would get your dream feuds everyone thought about. Sting Taker, Sting HBK. Sting Triple H. All happening in their athletic peak. In the midterm, you'll probably get Sting in the Undertaker WrestleMania type role as well. Right, as a special attraction, this right from 07 to maybe like a 2012-ish, you know, which is, you know, Sting doesn't go to TNA, which means TNA loses an anchor, which means they probably don't get the Spike TV era, or if they do, it's not as big. The mainstream footprint of TNA doesn't grow as large. I mean, it wasn't large, but it doesn't get to where it was. And then in the long-term sort of legacy, Sting enters the Hall of Fame much earlier than he did. He would be remembered as a mythic WWE character and not just... I mean, the way Sting's WWE run went, it was just super, super bittersweet, to be honest. And so that's always a question people have to ask. And then what I think is the most important one is going to be number six. What if 1985's WrestleMania 1 failed? And here's exactly what would have happened. Vince McMahon goes out of business in the 80s, and wrestling probably dies. That's just how I'm going to say it, right? It becomes very regional. Crockett probably becomes the top territory, and wrestling doesn't get off the ground. WrestleMania 1 is the most, probably the biggest event in the history of the industry. Because if that failed, Vince McMahon, the stories that I've heard, he literally mortgaged his life. Like, all of his life was mortgaged into this event. And if it did not work, Hulkamania dies, and if Hulkamania dies, because if it doesn't, like, national television wouldn't have picked up this regional programming, right? If WrestleMania 1 failed, if it turned out and flopped, no one else would take it seriously to put it on TV. So that means Hulkamania dies, WWF dies, wrestling as it's in itself dies, never grows to be the worldwide spectacle that WrestleMania became. This was the, right, WrestleMania 1 might be the most important event in the history of wrestling. The only thing you could really say is maybe Crockett and, you know, Turner with WCW maybe make Starrcade a big event, but it wouldn't have been ever been as big as Mania ever was, right? And so those are my six what-ifs. Let me know what you think. Give me some other what-ifs, maybe in the comments if you're listening on YouTube or Spotify. Join the Discord and join the conversation. Give me some what-ifs as well. So the last thing we'll do, we got a couple final pieces here. We're going to continue our best female wrestler bracket battle. And we got four more matches for you. Number one is Tessa Blanchard versus Thea Hale. We got Jada Parker versus Mina Shirakawa. Ash by Elegance versus Victoria Crawford from TNA, which is Alicia Fox, for those who don't know. And then we got Willow Nightingale versus Marina Shafir. Question of the week this week was, if you were offered the opportunity to meet and spend a day with one wrestler, who would you choose and why? And I haven't really spent a lot of time thinking of this myself. If I had to choose one, and I'm going to put a caveat on this, active wrestler. See, like, part of me is tempted to go, like, and I know a lot of you are probably thinking where I'm going. Like, part of me is super tempted to go and say someone like a Lyra Valkyria, because y'all know she's like my favorite wrestler right now, right? I don't know if I would choose that, though, because that might be a boring day. Which is fine. I don't mind, actually. I don't mind boring. Like, because I know a lot of people would want to go and, you know, there might be people who are like, oh, I want to go find someone who would be the life of the party and go have a good time. And that's not my vibe, right? Yeah, I don't know. This is a hard question, and it was meant to be hard. I wanted to see some people's mindsets on it. If I had to pick one, like, right off the top of my head, it would be Lyra. And it's not anything weird, right? It's not like, oh, I'm gonna steal her from her fiance. No, like, I genuinely think that, first off, she's a beast in the gym. And I know I wouldn't be able to keep up with her. But, like, hey, show me your workout. Like, Sheamus is probably someone I would choose as well. Sheamus seems like a cool dude to hang out with. Yeah. Let me know what you guys think. Go to the Discord, answer the question, put it in the comments on YouTube. If you had the opportunity, you could choose one wrestler to spend an entire day with, who would it be and why? I don't really have an actual answer this week for this question. Which then takes us to our final thoughts, where we're going to predict NXT Heatwave. So let me pull up the card real quick. Here we go. So, we're going to start with the NXT Championship match between Oba Femi and Javon Evans. And I was tempted to go the upset here and pick Javon Evans. I don't think it happens this early. I think something happens in this match, some sort of interference. And Oba is going to, or distraction or something, and Oba's going to win the match. I think they're going to do, here's what I think happens. I think Moose is going to get involved. I think Oba Femi versus Moose will happen at Bound for Glory. I think Trick Williams defends his title at Bound for Glory, and I think Oba Femi defends his title at Bound for Glory. I think they're going to get that NXT world title on Bound for Glory. I do. In which I still think Oba defends, by the way. I think Oba's going into the new year as champion, and I think Javon Evans will beat him at New Year's Evil. I think that tends to be the show where a lot of change happens heading into Royal Rumble season. I just don't see a time where Javon... I would be more than ecstatically happy if Javon Evans wins on Sunday. I just don't see it happening this early. I think we... Right? So I'm picking Oba Femi. Next, we have a tag team championship match. Hank and Tang versus Dark State. Honestly, Hank and Tank's my pick, and I don't really have a reason for this. I'd want to know what Dark State has done to, you know, get an opportunity to win the tag team championships. This tag team division, ever since Fraxium left, and I'm happy for Hank and Tank, but this tag team division, ever since Fraxium left, has been an ass. Absolute ass, in my opinion. We then have a TNA Championship triple threat match. JC Jane is the champion versus Masha Slamovich and Ash by Elegance. And I'm going a surprise pick because I know a lot of people are probably going to pick JC. I wouldn't be upset if JC won, but I am picking Ash by Elegance. I just have a feeling about this match where she's going to be the champion, which I then think leads to Tessa Blanchard versus Ash by Elegance at Bound for Glory. We have an NXT number one contendership match for the NXT Women's Championship. And this number one contenders match consists of Jada Parker, Kalani Jordan, and Lola Vice. I don't have a reason for this. All three of these are number one contender materials. I'm picking Lola Vice. I am. It's just the name when I look at the three that I'm like, they've been giving her a lot of spots here with AAA. Maybe, you know, we have a AAA event in September with Worlds Collide. Again, maybe they want to put her on the card as NXT Women's Champion. You know, that I'm thinking like three steps ahead. We then have Jordynne Grace versus Blake Monroe, which is not an awkward match. We kind of figured it would happen, but they're really slow burning Blake Monroe getting to the title. A lot slower than I thought they would. Blake Monroe's winning this match. And once this feud's done, I think Jordynne Grace moves up to the main roster. And we'll end that. And then we'll finally end the predictions here. With Team Canada, Ethan Page versus Ethan Page and Chelsea Green versus Tavian Heights and Tyra May Steele. I'm picking Team USA, Tavian and Tyra, because that's what this whole story is about. And with that being said, that's the end of the show. Let me know what you guys think. And tune into the next one. This is We Too Deep with Cyber Me Wrestling Podcast. So hit that subscribe, come along for the ride. AEW, WWE, we're always on side. From fantasy booking to baddies that slay, slapping meat wrestling every Tuesday.